This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana and the region we call Acadiana. Today's podcast is being recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions, a technology company located in the Light Center in Lafayette, Louisiana. Raider creates and maintains technical strategies for businesses across the country, functioning as their complete IT department, from networks to phones, hosting of servers, and a service-oriented help desk. Raider offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. Discover Lafayette is also underwritten by Lafayette Convention and Visitors Commission. With many upcoming events hitting the Lafayette market in 2018, we encourage you to visit LafayetteTravel.com to find out more about our festivals, attractions, music scene, and award-winning restaurants. Thanks to LCVC for its support of this podcast. Today's guest is George Graham, president of the Graham Group, an advertising and public relations firm with locations in Lafayette, New Orleans, and Baton Rouge, who also writes the award-winning Acadiana Table food blog that began in 2012 and eventually led to a collection of stories and recipes that were published in his cookbook, Acadiana Table, Cajun and Creole Home Cooking from the Heart of Louisiana. George, you've brought our cultural cuisine to life in living color. I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here. And it's also my pleasure to write about this amazing culinary culture we live in. The Cajun and Creole culture is why people love to visit Louisiana, and specifically the food. In fact, I've done a lot of research for clients of mine in the ad business in the tourism sector, and the number one reason why people come to Louisiana and want to come back is because of our food.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Yep. Well, let's if we can go back in time, I've read your story, and I found it very interesting that you grew up in Bogalusa and your family had a cafe. Would you talk about your roots and what led you to come to Lafayette and Acadiana?
It's very interesting when I tell people I'm from Bogalusa and that I write about Cajun and Creole food. It doesn't take long for people to look on a map and figure out that Bogalusa is about as far away in the state of Louisiana as you can get from Cajun and Creole. And I grew up there. It's about an hour north of New Orleans, right on the Mississippi line. And I am far from being a Cajun, but my father owned a restaurant, and the restaurant was called the Acme Cafe. It had been there since 1945. I grew up in the restaurant business. I grew up stirring a pot in the kitchen of that restaurant and learned the basics of cooking by my father, who was not a chef at all, but yet was very passionate about the food that he cooked and served and imparted his knowledge to me and made it okay for a boy to stir a pot.
Right. Was your mother part of the restaurant also?
She wasn't. She was a nurse, but yet she was a very skillful cook as well.
That's fun. So you went to, was it Southeastern? Where did you go to college?
I did. I went to Southeastern and graduated in marketing and fell in love with the advertising side of marketing and started my ad agency in 1979. So it's coming up on 39 years that I've been doing this agency business.
Right. Now, before that, you worked with, was it Charthouse? Did you work with, was that B.I. Moody and Billy Trotter?
That was correct. And it was the heyday of Charthouse, two floors at the F&B Towers in Lafayette, publicly held corporation, about a half $1 billion in sales at the time. And I was the marketing director for the Burger King division. What people don't realize is that Charthouse, known for their steakhouse division and a bunch of other divisions, was the nation's number one franchisee of Burger King 14 restaurants at the time, and over 500 restaurants across the U.S. in different mm-hmm. markets. So right here in Lafayette, one of the largest corporations that Louisiana has ever known.
That could probably be a different podcast completely. Getting Rocky Roban and some of that group to come in and speak about the heyday, because that was when Lafayette was booming with the oil and gas, just really booming. I'll just leave it at that. And I know that Mr. Moody and Mr. Trotter and that group were highly successful. And I guess you really got to learn from some of the best about how to grow a business.
I did. That was a dual track for me mm-hmm. of learning about the advertising marketing side of business, and at the same time, learning the food business. And I was able to really interact with some very, very talented people, mm-hmm. People like Bill Hyde, who went on to be chairman of Ruth's Chris Steakhouse chain and now has a very successful Rathbone up in Dallas. Good mm-hmm. restaurant people. And that's one of the reasons why Lafayette has been so successful in spawning such a very robust restaurant culture. As a lot of the people who worked for Chart House at the time went out and did their own thing. Mm-hmm. And many of those people did it right here in Lafayette. So we have a very, very dynamic, locally owned, independent restaurant climate here.
Right. So you left and started the Graham Group in the late 70s, and I want to commend you. I mean, three locations throughout our state, and from your website, I saw the large clients that you've helped, the Lottery Corporation, LUS Fiber, locally Lafayette, Central Park, and so many others. You must really have a love for helping others promote their business.
We've been very blessed to have a very diverse number of clients, good, key, solid clients in different industry categories. When you're an advertising agency in a market like Louisiana, it's very difficult to specialize in one specific area. So you wind up doing a little bit mm-hmm. of everything. So we've been very blessed, and the opportunity to work with banks and work with retail sector, casinos and tourism, insurance, healthcare, a little bit of everything is really some insight into our regional economy. And I like to say that advertising agencies are almost a barometer of how an economy is doing. And we have that opportunity to look and see what's coming down the road as far as changes are concerned, and to help our clients navigate through those mm-hmm. changes.
Do you help small business also? Is it typically the large businesses that put money into their marketing dollars? Or?
Oh, I love to say that the small clients are the best clients. They appreciate what you do for them.
Mm-hmm. And need the help.
Well, not only do they need the help, but they partner with our agency to grow mm-hmm. their business. And I recall not too long ago that a little rice company over in Crowley, which turns out to be one of the largest rice manufacturers in the nation, came to us and said, look, we want to do a brand design for our packaging because we want to get into the retail rice business. Never been in the retail mm-hmm. rice business. And that brand locked arms with our designers and our marketing planners and public relations and social media people, and now they're Supreme Rice, and they're on the shelf of Walmart and mm-hmm. Rouse's and just about every food market throughout the region and in pockets of the nation. Phenomenally successful.
That's great. I know that you've helped other people too. We were speaking before the interview about, I think we met through One Acadiana. It was still the Chamber of Commerce. And I know that you were one of the principal, really the minds behind Innovate. And it's spelled INNOV8. And if you could talk about that some, about some of your volunteer activities, and then we'll go into your food blog. That's really why we're here. But You've helped so many people here in Lafayette.
Innovate was born out of a need for our community to come together under the banner of innovation. And when I say innovation, I'm talking not just technology and the digital environment that we're in now, but innovation in healthcare, innovation in education, innovation in the arts. So we created an 8-day festival mm-hmm. called Innovate, which became a phenomenally successful year one, year two, year three, and still we're years down the road, and it's still an amazing opportunity to connect people, to connect organizations under the banner of innovation.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Let's talk about your food. Since I mentioned Winnicadiana, I'm going to open this part of the conversation with my memory of coming to you in Roxanne's home. You were opening your house for end of the year of celebration for people that had served on the chamber board and executive committee. And George, when I walked in your home, not only is it a lovely feast for the eyes, but the food that was presented, you know, I just assumed you had flown in a New York chef. It was breathtaking. And Roxanne said, no, George did all this himself. And that was the first that I realized that you were not just a chef, but I mean, you have an eye for presentation. And that's really just the tip of the iceberg of your love of cooking. So can you talk about what led you to start your food blog in 2012? And where did you learn all this? Can you go back and talk about this?
Food has always been a passion of mine. At an early age, I remember making my first dish. It was a grilled cheese sandwich that I made at 5 years old on my gas burner of the heater in my room.
It's a different day.
I was very proud of it. It even had grill marks on it. A few years later, commandeered my sister's Easy Bake Oven mm-hmm. and made a souffle. I remember watching Julia Child at the time. But these were times where celebrity chefs didn't exist. Mm-hmm. Chefs were the people who worked behind the scenes, and you never knew who they were. So as passionate as I was about cooking and food, and those sorts of things, it wasn't a career path for me. Mm-hmm. Now that we have Emeril and Wolfgang and all of the great chefs, I could see that there could be a very vibrant career path for me in that respect. So anyway, the point was that food was an early on passion, and I carry that throughout my life. Mm-hmm. It stems from curiosity more than anything else, and a very wandering palate, wanting to know everything about unique dishes and ethnic cultures and different ways of food preparation. I've always traveled with food in mind. Most of the trips that my wife Roxanne and I have taken revolve around food and the food culture of where we were. And I'll never forget that we were in Provence, in Aix-en-Provence, the center of this amazing market-driven food culture. And I was just blown away by the vibrancy of the food, the freshness, the farm-to-table approach. And then it dawned on me that it's just like where I live,
just like
Acadiana.
At home. Right.
And we live smack dab in a one-of-a-kind food culture here in this region of Southwest Louisiana. So I began to write. Writing had always been a part of my path mm-hmm. in the advertising business, but more technical writing, public relations writing. So I began to just go out and tell the stories and connect with the farmers and the what I like to call the butchers, the bakers, and the boudin makers. Mm-hmm. Of Acadiana, and the stories almost wrote themselves, and it gave me an opportunity to get up close and personal to this food culture. Photography followed very quickly. I was a photographer in my early 20s and then kind of gave up my camera and never really gotten seriously into digital photography. But I went and bought the best camera that I could and lenses that were perfect for food photography. And I taught myself digital food photography, food styling, and editing. And I just launched the brand about 6 years ago as A Cajun and a Table, and began telling the stories of the Cajun and Creole culinary culture.
So you handle everything, the writing, the photography. It's all George behind this.
It is all of me that you see on the written page, but there are other people behind the scenes that help me.
That help you.
Particularly in things like social media and in some of the videography that we're doing now. My daughter is becoming very involved in some of the videos that we're doing. My wife is extremely involved in many of things, comes up with a lot of the ideas. And I tell her that I couldn't have done this blog without her, because probably half of her, of my stories stem around her family, born in Jeff Davis Parish, up in the Kings Farm region, the Fontenot family, and three generations strong, provides an endless amount of stories for me to tell.
So you've really, you're self-taught, not just the photography and writing, but the food. This wasn't something that you knew, as you said, growing up in Bogalusa, but it looks like you're just a natural. I mean, the stories about living off the land and using what we have here, it just captures the Acadian culture.
After 40 years plus living here in my adult life, I like to refer to myself as a born-again Cajun. And I feel very much a part of this culture and have a deep appreciation for the heritage of the food, the history of the people, and how it all interrelates. I think there's no region of our United States that's more defined by the food culture than right here. And it's not only apparent in the tourists and travelers who come here and just are extremely excited, enthusiastic about what they're discovering, but it's treasured by families who live here and have lived here for generations.
Right.
It's not take it for granted. And I think there's a keen appreciation for preserving it. It's the mission of A Cajun and a Table to promote and to preserve the Cajun and Creole culinary culture. It's very simply stated, and it's one that we keep in mind with everything that we do.
One of my last guests was Warren Perrin, you know, and he spoke of the Acadian culture and the history, and he affirmed what you just said, that this is the only region in the country, in the U.S., where the Acadian people have maintained their culture. And while they're part of the U.S., it's been preserved and with pride. And they didn't want to give away what was unique about their heritage. And cooking is such an important part of that, because it revolves around family.
Yes, the family table kind of was the whole aspect of Acadiana Table in the concept of what we were doing. And I like to say that I have kitchen table conversations with people that lead to the stories that I tell. So the heart of the kitchen in our home, the heart of the home, rather, is the kitchen. And I find that to be the case in most every Cajun family I meet.
Right. So when you write about the story, you're saying they write themselves, but you're not just telling us how to make the roux or how to cook the rabbit or the king cake. I know there was a video that came out today. All the different types of cuisine you've written about, you talk about the genesis of it and where this came from and how it's maintained, you know, its importance in our local cuisine.
In the online world, the food blog has literally revolutionized recipes and access of information. And you can Google search just about any dish, any recipe, and you'll have 24 different options to choose from. And It is mind-boggling what's going on there. So I knew early on I didn't want to be a recipe blog. There's way too many of those out there. What I wanted to be, and as it relates to the mission statement that we talked about, is to really be about the people. What I refer to as the faces and places of Acadiana Table and our culture. So that was the differentiation for me. Savoir Magazine did a search for the best food blogs in America, and they found Acadiana Table, and we were nominated in the best narrative food blog. Same with International Association of Culinary Professionals. This is a worldwide organization that twice named us in the food blog category in best of. So we're excited to be discovered. When I say we, both Acadiana Table and helping to promote our Cajun and Creole culture, to stimulate tourism, to stimulate our travel industry, and to give voice to the people who make it so special.
Right. If there are examples, what would you say are some of the most popular types of dishes? Like, do you get feedback, you know, for certain types of things that you've published that people just really want to know more about?
I do, and you mentioned it already. We posted today a video for Boudin King Cake. It's one of the most unique ideas that came out of the brain of Robert Carriker. Dr. Bob Carriker is a history professor at UL who also writes BoudinLink.com and the Cajun Boudin Trail.
I love that. I've heard about the Boudin Trail.
I call him the Oracle of Boudin. And if there's anything you want to know, he's the one to go to. So he came up I think it was about 2 years ago, came up with the idea of baking boudin inside a king cake. This is a savory, spicy version of king cake, not the regular sweet glazed treat that everyone has known all their life. And it just went crazy. So I decided to simplify it with just a simple recipe using links of boudin with crescent dough sheets. Not that you know the crescent dinner rolls, but they also sell the sheets of crescent dough sheets in most supermarkets. And you just open it up, lay it out, put the boudin in, put some pepper jack cheese inside, bake it off, golden brown, delicious, glaze it with a little red pepper jelly and sprinkle it with bacon bits and some green onion tops. It is absolutely spectacular, and it's easy.
Right.
So the video is really a fun way of showing everybody how easy it really is. And that recipe is one of the top recipes during the month lead up to Mardi Gras that we did last year and now are doing again on AcadianaTable.com.
And we have so many local boudin places. You know, people can go buy boudin, especially in Scott. I mean, that's the boudin capital, but there's so many wonderful places to to get these ingredients. What other things do people like? Are they into the gumbo recipes, or is it more like what type of things filter to the top that are popular?
I think the gumbo is obviously a seasonal thing. Become early October, gumbo begins to pick up. And when I'm talking pick up, we track everything. We track the traffic on, we have over a million page views a year on AcadianaTable.com. And so we see the spike in interest in probably early October, but it hits a frenzy at Thanksgiving and runs all the way through until probably around March when we start seeing warmer weather moving in. So gumbo is definitely a huge traffic generator for Acadiana. Very popular recipes. Particularly, I did a very interesting recipe called smoked rabbit gumbo, which got a tremendous amount of interest. Not that you can go to any supermarket and find smoked rabbit, but it is one of the most flavorful gumbo versions that I've ever done.
Are you on TV? It seems like the next step for you is a television outlet. Have I Am I asking a good question
you say,
there?
No, you're absolutely right. But when you say television, we're not necessarily looking at going into
network.
Mainstream television. Mm-hmm. What we are interested in is beginning to bring to life the people and the culture mm-hmm. and begin to create chronicles of...
Video chronicles.
Yeah, video of people that pepper this amazing culture that we live mm-hmm. in.
Right. You know, I still say television, and I'm learning through doing this podcast that the market is not, you know, the basic network broadcast. It's for people that can fit this in when they have time and can go to it. And I know your blog offers that, but mm-hmm. I just think what you bring to life is it's so much fun to think that I could cook mm-hmm. like that, because I never saw myself as a chef, but you make it step by step, you walk people through it where they want to step up to the table and try these things that we may not necessarily think of, you know, like buying a baked chicken and just putting it on the table, but actually creating something that's memorable.
Part of our goal is to demystify mm-hmm. The Cajun and Creole cooking. You know, whereas you would think that a lot of these ingredients that we take for granted here in Acadiana are inaccessible, you'd be surprised. I found a Savoy's andouille sausage in Los Angeles. You know, those sorts of things begin to filter out to markets. Mm-hmm. So all you have to do is do some online searches. And also, all of these ingredients are available online. In a couple of days, you can have some boiled crawfish mm-hmm. Delivered straight to your house. So it's accessible and it's easy, and what we're doing is pointing people in the right direction.
Right. Well, Harvard Press is the publisher, is that correct, for your book? Tell me about that, please. What's it like having a book published?
I think the book was not something that was an objective of mine. It just so happened that with the awards that we were beginning to receive, that we got on the radar screen of publishers. First, the small presses, local, regional presses that were very interested and came calling and said, hey, we want to publish your cookbook. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't have a cookbook. And
but you did, huh?
Yeah.
You did have the rudimentary.
I had one inside of me, uh-huh. as it turns out. And I said to myself, if I'm going to do this, let me take the greatest shot at bringing this to a national audience. So I went out and created a very intensive book proposal and went to national publishers, particularly those that focused on the food industry, and also literary agencies. Mm-hmm. Got turned down a lot. But at the same time, I found a wonderful literary agent, Stone Song, in New York, who agreed to represent me. And we very quickly found the Harvard Common Press in Boston, very focused on the cookbook industry. Marriage was made. It took about 18 months of a lot of new recipes, new photographs, stories that I was able to be in distribution. We're in Barnes & Noble all over doing book signings. And it's just an exciting way of, for me, of at these samplings and book signings to connect to people that are just so passionate about what we're doing. So it's been a year and a half now that it's been out and on the market, and it's doing extremely well.
That's great. Congratulations. We have one in the Swift family, and we love it. I just had assumed you had taken a lot of your blog writings and compiled it. So do you have advice for someone that may be listening to this, and whether or not they're a chef or just have an idea for a blog, do you have advice for someone starting out? You know, I'm asking for myself too, because I know it's not easy taking an idea from day one and building it to make it sustainable. And you've done that.
It actually is easy. And here's what I always tell people. write the first story.
Just get started.
Write the first recipe. Write about things that you're passionate about. Tell the stories. Talk to people. Put them down on paper or on your desktop, on your computer. But they begin to write themselves. And I always say that because, you know, it was that first story that led to the second, that led to the third, that led to over 600 now, that gave me the real opportunity to see how easy it is when you're passionate about something. And my father, at an early age, he said, "Whatever you do, son," and he never steered me in any particular. He didn't necessarily want me to be in the restaurant business, but he said, "Whatever you do, follow your passion." So that's, with this food blog, that's what I'm doing.
Right.
And it's been a real fun odyssey of discovery.
That's great. Well, I think discipline is a big part of that too, George. You know, it's easy when you have discipline, and you definitely have done that, and you've created such a beautiful gift for us here in Acadiana and nationally. So I want to commend you for your passion and following your heart, because you really could just, you know, you could have just stayed president of Graham Group and been very successful without following your bliss and adding this component to your life.
And the food blog is a real opportunity to dovetail into what we're doing with the advertising agency. We have a number of food products that we represent. And also at Acadiana Table, we're beginning to spin out our food products as well. I know I talked earlier about my wife growing up in Jennings and Jeff Davis Parish and learning to cook a roux at the beside her grandmother and then her mother. It's three generations of roux making, and it's taken on a life of its own. And you asked earlier what is the top stories on Acadiana Table, and I have to say it's Rox's roux.
That's great.
And it's all about her passion for that 1 hour long stirring the roux and making it to a dark Cajun roux, almost like Hershey bar chocolate dark. That's really the cornerstone for any good Cajun gumbo. So we decided to make Rox's roux into a product in 16-ounce jars, and it's been picked up by the Fresh Market throughout Louisiana in all five of their locations, and it's here in Lafayette at Champagne's.
I saw it the other day.
And B.O.'s and Broussard and Little Veron's. So Rox's roux is deeper and darker and richer than any roux on the market. So I urge you to try it. And really discover that difference in a real dark roux.
Yeah, she's got a tough competition. My great aunt Pearl Guitreau has been deceased for a while now, but she taught me way back to make roux, and I don't think I was patient enough. The hour kills me. 30 minutes I could do, but you have to stand there and not be distracted. I can't wait to try this. It's really, it just represents our local cuisine so well.
We did a video just recently. It's on the blog. So go to acadiantable.com and click on the sidebar, and you'll see First You Make a Roux. And it'll take you to a video with Roxanne telling the story of the roux and roux making. As Roxanne says, it's important that everyone learn to make a roux and to pass it down to the next generation. Mm-hmm. It's a real key, essential for preserving our culinary culture, for children to learn how to make a roux, and young adults who don't do it any longer. But once you've done that, you've earned the right to go out and buy a jar of Roxanne's
roux. That's right, for those times when you don't have time to spend in the kitchen. Well, George, as we wind down the interview, the focus of this podcast is about our rich culture and the people that define Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. How would you define our local region, Lafayette, and the culture? What do you think makes us so unique?
You know, I've had this love affair with Lafayette, Louisiana, ever since I moved here right out of college. And There is not only the joie de vivre of the people who live here and the cultural aspect, but in the business community, there's what I like to call a success psychology. And I think it stems out of the early oil industry mm-hmm. here of people who came from Oklahoma and Texas and all over the U.S. who came to Lafayette with a spirit of entrepreneurism that has led to our growth, that's led to so many new industries and corporations. It's just a very vibrant can-do attitude. It's unlike any place that I've spent any time in, and particularly within our business community, we've embraced this, and the spirit of innovation is here.
Mm-hmm. That's well put, and it's such a wonderful place to live and to visit. So I'd like to thank you, George Graham, president of the Graham Group, and of course, author of Acadiana Table's food blog, and author of the cookbook, Acadiana Table, Cajun and Creole Home Cooking from the Heart of Louisiana. I encourage everyone to look for it at Barnes & Noble. I'm sure it's on Amazon, any places you buy books. It's a great investment. And I'd like to also thank again Raider Solutions and Jason Sikora for taping our podcast today, and Lafayette Convention and Visitors Commission for making our podcast possible. This interview with George Graham and all of our interviews can be listened to on our website, discoverlafayette.net, on Apple Podcasts, and anywhere that you receive your podcast. Please rate and review us. If you go to Apple Podcasts, it helps us keep this podcast going. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, I'm Jan Swift. Thank you for listening.